This is LiveWell Talk on stroke, signs, symptoms, and treatment. I'm Dr. Dustin Arnold, Chief Medical Officer at United Point Health St. Luke's Hospital. When it comes to stroke, time is of the essence. Today, as we recognize National Stroke Awareness Month, we'll discuss the warning signs, treatment, and support offered at St. Luke's, and much more. Our guest today is Riley Schmelzer, a registered nurse at St. Luke's Hospital. Riley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Arnold. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you work up in Five Center. Tell me a little.
Absolutely.
Where you come from? Why are you on Five Center? And
I decided to go work on Five Center after being a new grad nurse, mostly for the oncology aspect. But surprisingly enough, being also a neurology unit, we also see a lot more neurology than we do see oncology. So I'm pretty passionate about neurology and everything that comes with that. We see a ton of stroke patients. And the one reason that I am super passionate about it is because strokes can affect anybody. You know, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your gender. So really it's just, you know, stroke prevention and trying to prevent that from ever happening in the first place, because, you know, what comes along with strokes is it could be lifelong deficits that people really struggle with. So,
I say this, very few people are afraid of death, right?
Yeah.
They know it's part of life.
Right.
And they just understand that. But nobody wants to have half a stroke.
Right.
The big stroke that kills you, well, that's my time.
Right.
But people really, and you're absolutely right, having that half a stroke that leaves you with a debility and dependent upon your family, I think patients truly
it's terrifying.
Fear that. Yeah. I think that is so true. And you've seen the disability. We don't do a lot of inpatient oncology anymore. It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
And that's a reflection on just how refined chemotherapy
right.
and therapeutics are these days. So credit to the oncology. Let's go through what are the signs or symptoms that someone should be aware that they might be having a stroke.
Right. What we like to teach on our unit, especially, you know, in the education that we do with our patients and just general awareness, is the be fast. And so what that actually means is, you know, looking and kind of evaluating for sudden changes in balance. Are you feeling dizzy, kind of off kilter? Just not as you normally would. So that's the B. The E would be eyes. So are you having any vision changes? Are you seeing double vision? Is, you know, are you having a field cut? You can't see out of, you know, part of your left or your right eye. The F would be facial drooping. So kind of, you know, looking at yourself and saying, whoa, you know.
Or if a loved one notices.
Right. Wow, something looks different and one half of my face is not the same as the other. That's pretty alarming. The A would be arms, or, you know, it could be any extremity that you start to feel weakness in more than the other. So, you know, you're gripping and your grips are equal, and then all of a sudden you notice, hey, my right side is significantly weaker than my left. That is an issue. And then the last one, or not the last one, S would be speech. So just assessing for speech changes, you know, are you getting out what you want to say? Are you understanding what people are saying to you? Are you messing up other words? And the thing about that is that typically other people will notice that right away, which is great, because the T stands for time, and time is really the most important thing that, you know, we can express with strokes. You know, getting in and getting seen as soon as possible so that we can ensure the least amount of damage done.
Yeah. As I said in the opening, you know, time is brain.
Yeah.
It just with like a heart attack. You know, a stroke is a heart attack of the brain.
Right.
Right. Lack of blood flow to a region of the brain that's causing symptoms. And getting in here as fast as possible
Absolutely.
Is going to improve or limit the chance of that it's going to spread.
Right.
Not all strokes are the same.
Nope.
So what are the type of strokes that people have?
So what we see a lot of is ischemic strokes. And this is the most common type of stroke. What happens is that a blood clot or some plaque buildup debris that is in the body kind of cuts or shoots off and goes up into the brain. And at that point, then wherever that clot ended up is where the part of your brain that is not going to have any blood flow to it. So essentially, it's dying. And that's why time is so essential. You know, we have to get in there and save every part of that we can. And so that one, a lot of it has to do kind of the internal carotid arteries. We see a lot of occlusions with those causing strokes. Yes. Yep. So yeah, a lot of the times just, you know, making sure you're getting your checkups and checking your cholesterol and everything like that. So, and then another type of stroke could be a hemorrhagic stroke. And this is when there's a bleed in the brain that disrupts the normal circulation, you know, starving the brain of the oxygen that it needs to move on. So, you know, that can be really scary. And these strokes change your body, you know, they can change it significantly. They change the way people think, how they feel. So, you know, it's really important that we educate people on this type of
stuff.
Absolutely.
I think the common misconception is patients will, well, I must not be having a stroke. I might have been a headache.
Right.
Well, that's, headache is unusual for a stroke. Passing out, syncope or, you know, becoming unresponsive. That's, for the ischemic type strokes, that's unusual.
Right.
You know, it's, but when in doubt, I like that, you know, to get to the ER, let us figure out what kind of stroke
what's
it is
going
and
on.
What can be done. But I think one of, we talked earlier about having half a stroke and preventing that. What are some risk factors that can be modified and others that can't, that makes a patient at greater risk of having a stroke?
Yeah. So we talk a lot about modifiable and non-modifiable risk factors when we're talking about strokes. And modifiable would be things that you can change, you know, you can adapt to your lifestyle. Those would be things like eating a healthy diet, you know, having a healthy regimen as far as that. Trying to avoid, you know, a more sedentary lifestyle. Smoking cessation is a big one. Limiting your intake of alcohol, trying to maintain a healthy weight. Really managing your chronic diseases, you know, such as diabetes. And if you have AFib, a lot of those things are causes of stroke. So managing those to the best of your ability. Watching your cholesterol levels, and then some non-modifiable risk factors, which would be things that, you know, you can't necessarily change. They're kind of set in stone for you, would be like your biological sex, your age, your ethnicity, your family history. So just, you know, always being aware of what's going on with yourself.
Yeah, smoking. Curious. You're young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm older, not old. But like my, okay, I'm 55 in July. I would say my generation, very few people smoke.
Yeah.
Right? So you have like my parents' generation that like everyone smokes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then you have my generation. But this is just my observation. I think I see a lot of younger people smoking than I think of my generation. What's been your experience?
Yeah, my experience has been a lot of the times, yeah, it is the older people that you see have a large history of smoking for many, many years, many packs a day.
Right.
With your generation, yeah, we really don't see that as much.
It seems like I see younger people.
Younger
smoking.
People, I mean, it's becoming increasingly kind of, you know, unfortunately super common in this, in my younger generation. People are picking up a lot of those habits that they're, you know, maybe not their parents, but their grandparents had.
Yeah.
And it's definitely scary. And we need to be educating more people, you know, of my age and population, you know, of really how dangerous it is.
I can remember, I'm old enough that like when I was a kid and we'd go out to eat, the non-smoking section of the restaurant was like a card table with folding chairs in the back, you know?
So
like
the
good section was the smoking section, right?
That's
kind of, that's changed dramatically. But yeah, I think I do see younger people smoke vaping and, you know, vaping's still nicotine. I mean, it's affecting your blood vessels.
Absolutely.
I think, it might not cause lung cancer. to the degree that cigarettes does, but
it's
still bad.
Still bad.
Now, what do we do for patients when they show up, they have a stroke? Kind of walk us through what's going to happen in the emergency room and then go up to five center and just take us through that so patients can understand what does happen.
Right. So the process is, you know, it's not easy by any means. And like we've been saying, time is brain. And so when you come in and you have these symptoms, it's really important to note the time, you know, the onset of those symptoms. When did they start for you? Do we have time to administer something that we call tenecteplase, which is TNK? This would be something that breaks up blood clots in your bloodstream, and it works well and fast. And it's really, really beneficial if we are able to give this to patients who are able to come in and tell us the time that their symptoms started.
And that's still a four-hour window, right?
Four-hour window, yep. So, you know, like if you went to bed and then you woke up with these symptoms, unfortunately, you know, the onset could have been when you were asleep. And yeah. So we're not going to be able
Which
to.
Happens more than you would think.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And I've always wondered, did they have the symptoms maybe before they went to bed? And maybe they thought, well, I'll wake up, I'll feel better.
You right.
Know, sort of thing. I don't know. But yeah, that. It happens more than you would expect
when people
wake up
does.
With symptoms and you never really know when it started.
Right.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, the reason for that is that the risk of the clot buster drug causing bleeding
is more
outweighs the benefit of treating the stroke at that time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay, yeah. And so a lot of the times what we do is we get some scans. We really want to get those first and foremost done to identify where this may be occurring. And the other thing is that it could be ischemic or it could be hemorrhagic. So we do typically a CT first, which is where you're going to see
CAT
that.
CAT scan of the head.
Yes. Where it's where you're going to see that bleed. And if nothing shows there, you know, that's a good first sign. But then we're going to move on to an MRI, which is another scan that we would do of your head. And that can confirm ischemic strokes. So we're going to, you know, go in there, assess for any vessel changes of the brain, and kind of go from there to determine, you know, what next best steps are. So,
and then if somebody's had a stroke, and we hope we preserve as much function as possible, but there is a chance of some recovery, correct? And that's where rehab comes in.
Yes. Our rehab at St. Luke's here is phenomenal, especially for post-acute stroke patients. So a lot of the times who we want you to see are the physical therapists, the occupational therapists, and the speech therapists. Those are going to be your best friends. Speech is going to evaluate for any swallowing difficulty, you know, any difficulty with understanding what we're saying to you, or you're not being able to convey what you want to say to us. And they will, you know, pursue therapies as needed with those patients. And then physical therapy and occupational therapy come by once a day at least to work with patients and really get back as much mobility as we can. And if we don't feel like we can accomplish that, you know, when they're in the hospital, we'll set up outpatient therapies for them. Or we a lot of the times end up sending them to our inpatient rehab up on 6 West. So.
Yeah, and I've kind of always told patients, you can see improvement up to a year, particularly
oh, yeah.
with like speech
yeah.
and occupational therapy.
Definitely.
That, you know, the 30-day mark, you know, I don't know. I really feel it
no.
you know, with therapy, outpatient as well as inpatient, and then go beyond that. Patients can experience improvement.
Yeah, a lot of improvement. So it's really important to push that. And, you know, even if you feel like you are maybe getting a little bit better, just keep going and you'll be surprised at how far you come.
Another thing, I don't know if you've seen this, but so I think what happens when you have a stroke is your brain compensates, right? So the damaged part, the parts around the brain start to help out. And I've seen patients had, let's say, a stroke 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they had right-sided weakness. And then they get admitted with a pneumonia, and they get overwhelmed illness. That right-sided weakness will come back
yeah.
and go away again, you know. And so sometimes they'll think, oh, my God, I'm having another stroke. No, you're just – your brain is being distracted right now and not able to make up for that deficit.
Right.
It can be scary at first, but it's really good feeling when they get better in like 2 or 3 days.
Exactly. You know, yeah. To know cool. that it didn't yeah. happen again.
So you've seen patients like that
yeah.
too. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of, it's interesting. Well, Riley, this has been great. I like having the frontline staff coming in and explaining about their area of expertise. You did a great job and look forward to having you back on the program. Once again, this is Riley Schmelzer, a nurse on St. Luke's 5 Center neuro-oncology floor, more neurology than oncology these days. But we're going to have you back because you did a great job. It's been great information. If you'd like to learn more, visit unipoint.org. Thank you for listening to Live Well Talk On. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your family, friends, neighbors, strangers about our podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, be well.